Ayo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top rated sportsbook. Download the app today and use code CHGO when you sign up. Welcome into a emergency pod. Oh, no, wait, it's not emergency.
Damn it.
It's not. What is
an urgency pod?
A crisis pod. What are we doing?
Urgency.
Is it, remember the old crisis levels for the American, the United States for like flight travel? It was like red was really bad, orange, yellow. What is this, a yellow podcast? Where's your level at here, Herb, for Mike Clevenger being a White Sox?
You know, it's like water in a desert. It's an oasis. When you get to it, maybe you get a drop, but it's delicious. You know what I mean? Because we haven't had a movement in ages, even though it's just the end of November, so the first month of free agency started. It's good. It's nice. Nothing to go wild about, let's say that.
Well, maybe some people in the chat will go wild for us, and we will definitely let you know our thoughts here on today's CHGO White Sox podcast. I'm Sean Anderson, the host of the CHGO White Sox podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. That is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter at @EckernWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. We talked about this a little bit on Black Friday, that this would be a bargain bin for the White Sox. We haven't seen the deal yet, but a lot of things on Twitter, especially I think one reporter from WAND said it was a one-year deal. And I think our guy Anthony Schulo mentioned somewhere, Ken Rosenthal said it was for around $8 million. So John Morosi, I'm sorry, just said Clevenger's one-year deal is more than $8 million, $8 million and some change. So Mike Clevenger coming to be the fourth starter for this White Sox team. And he was just on your old team in San Diego. So what'd you make of Mike Clevenger's time? Because that was a big acquisition for them in 2020.
Well, if you recall, let's go all the way back. It's all started here in Chicago. The reason why Mike Clevenger was currently or in San Diego, because of him being a knucklehead and Zach Plesac being a knucklehead in the middle of COVID, where all the players were restricted to either the ballpark or their hotels. These two hit the town in Chicago in the middle of COVID and had to be punished and told to go back to Cleveland via car, which is not that far. It's 5.5 hours. But, you know, when you're used to the travel of Major League Baseball, it's a real punishment. And so real knucklehead activity there. That same year, the Cleveland Indians at the time and the San Diego Padres worked out a 9-player trade where Clevenger went to the Padres and then pitched a couple pitches for them, a couple of starts for them. Then immediately got hurt. I think he signed an extension for 2 years, got hurt, got Tommy John surgery, and came back in 2022 and really wasn't the same guy. Miles per hour were down, and he wasn't the guy who was filthy, where he can reach a 99-mile-per-hour fastball. I saw like his average velocity on his four-seam fastball, which he throws the most, of course, 51% of the time, was down 2 miles per hour from the time he came in 2020. So you could say that's coming off of the Tommy John surgery. That's just going to build up and build up. But he wasn't the same pitcher. He really didn't have the snap on the slider. He added a cutter. I mean, being a teammate of Yu Darvish, how can't you? And so maybe getting him in the lab with Ethan Katz and the White Sox, seeing him with the potential, you know, being here in the AL Central so many times and a good stretch here in the AL Central, they think that there's some good players still in there. The only red flags I see, maturity, and he's not that young. He's 32 in December.
Right. And the maturity thing, it is interesting because he just had another daughter in March too. So I do wonder what a third child would do to someone's maturity. And you did see at least a little bit more of a mature Clevenger when he was in San Diego. No, you did mention a thing on Friday that he was being a little bit more mature than he was maybe in Cleveland.
Yeah, he was. He's the one who came out the strongest against Fernando Tatis when he got popped for 80 games for PEDs. He was like, we need Fernando to mature. And I was like, you, Mike Clevenger, are telling Fernando Tatis that he needs to mature. All right. All right, kettle.
Glass houses?
Yeah, kettle and pot. What's up? But apparently, you know, from my people in San Diego, I've not heard a lot of whispers that say, oh, man, he's a bad teammate, or, oh, man, he's that or this. I've only heard positive things in his 2 years out there in San Diego, including, or it's probably more of a year and a half in San Diego, where the 2021 year was washed away because of Tommy John.
Yeah, and I do like Sydney's comment here, our guy Sydney Brown. Clevinger replaces Cueto in this rotation. I think he can give the Sox at least 5 to 6 innings a start. Again, I mentioned this back on, what was this, Friday, that he did have 200 innings in 2018. But outside of that, 121, 126, 114, and then obviously the short COVID year in 2020, where he pitched 41 and two-thirds innings. So I don't know if he's a workhorse, but if he is healthy, maybe he can give you around 150 innings. We do have a super chat as well from our guy, Stefan Bardo. Thank you very much, Stefan, coming in with a $2 super chat saying too many negative fans. This offseason isn't even over yet, which is true. The White Sox got out there and, you know, really set the market in a way for, I guess, lower level starting pitchers. It's not top of the rotation, but I don't know if there was too many guys at the top of the rotation that are in the White Sox budget. The White Sox weren't going to go out and get Jacob DeGrom, right? You know, them going out and paying Jacob DeGrom $40 million a year makes no sense on a one-year deal compared to paying Mike Clevinger for a one-year deal. I'm excited about this deal just because it could be a boom potential. You mentioned him dominating the White Sox when he was here or last in Cleveland, 2.15 ERA against the White Sox in about 60 innings over his career, 2.15 ERA in 9 starts, 62 and two-thirds innings, a sub-1 whip. They did this with Pedro Grifol. Pedro Grifol was, you know, whipping their ass each time he faced them since 2013. So if you can't beat them, you know, have them join you. So I'm excited for this because the White Sox clearly had a fourth piece missing in their rotation. And now it seems like that fifth spot, it could be, you know, Michael Kopech. It could be Davis Martin. It could be a mixture of them. And also the thing about Johnny Cueto, he's 36 years old. Clevinger's going to be 32 in December. So it's not that, you know, you get, they get a little bit younger here. So I'm interested in what he can bring. And I think the most exciting thing about him is I still think he's athletic. And that's the thing that I think they're trying to hone in on, is if they can get that fastball back up to a higher level, miles per hour wise, I do think that his stuff can play, because then that would increase the slider mile per hour. And we do know that clearly Ethan Katz had a lot of success using the lower half, and something Mike Clevinger has always been good at is extension. I think he's in the top 90th percentile of extension, 88th percentile in extension for starting pitchers, showing you that he can extend off the mound, explode off the mound. And then, you know, he's not the tallest guy in the world, so the extension at least helps get a little bit more distance, or cuts down the distance towards the plate. So it gives the hitters less reaction time. But his fastball wasn't like Lucas Giolito bad, which I think is probably the most exciting. It's around 93.5 was the average for 2022. In 2020 and 2019, it was around 95.1. So there's a little bit of a drop off there, but at least later in the season, he was averaging like per game around 94. So I think he could probably get back up to an average around like 94.3, 94.5. And when he was up closer to that level, his stuff got graded out very, very well. His control's always been decent. This past year in 2022, his grades for stuff and control grade very, very similar to Vince Velasquez, which is why I think they're going to bring back Vince Velasquez. It's just because if they like Mike Clevinger stuff, I think they still might like Vince Velasquez's stuff. And he just had a career year ERA. So I could see Vince Velasquez coming back, but Clevinger, if they're able to get that mile per hour back up, hopefully use a little bit more of his lower half. I do think that fastball is going to be better. I do think that slider is going to be better. And both of those pitches when he was on were negative run value pitches, like minus 20 and minus 11. Right now they're about league average. So that velocity is very, very important to him. And we've seen Ethan Katz have success on helping pitchers get there. Like Dylan Cease, it took a little bit off of his drop on his slider, got a little bit more speed, and we saw what that did for him. So hopefully this could be a little bit of some Katz magic here, because I think that it might work for him.
And speaking of Katz magic, what he needs to do is he looks like Lucas Giolito looked like in 2018, where he was the worst pitcher in baseball. I didn't say it right. Sorry, I can't do my Stephen B. Smith. It's Sunday.
Worst pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, I went to the lineup game yesterday. My voice is a little rusty, but
they gave it to Chicago's Big Ten team.
Oh my God, they murdered those people. It was great to see. Clevinger is a little long with his delivery. And it's hard to repeat what he does. It's so herky jerky, knees to the chest, his back arm, his right arm goes all the way back to, you know, below his buttocks, and then has to come back up to the top of his head, and then he releases eventually. I think it would like a little bit more simpler, like Lucas Giolito's a little bit more compact after he came back from 2018 with the help of Ethan Katz in that offseason. So, you know, Clevenger, you know, is in California now, I would assume, still probably chilling around the San Diego area. Why would you go anywhere else? And we saw pictures of Ethan Katz up in Orange County right there. Just talk to each other. Say, hey, come on down. Lucas is here, whatever. We're going to get you right and shorten up that swing, because you could tell this deal, if it's a one-year deal for $8 million and maybe a player option or a team option for the second year, this is a prove-it deal. This is, hey, I'm going to showcase my wares for that last one big contract maybe when I'm 33. And so he can probably listen to Ethan Katz and say, or Ethan Katz could say, hey, look, man, look at the man right here. Look at the man I got on my T-shirt. I got Sisis on my T-shirt. He went from this guy to the guy that he is now. Lucas Giolito went from 2018 to 2019, 2020, 2021, Lucas Giolito. And then he wasn't anything when I didn't get to talk to him in the offseason in 2022. And if Mike Clevenger is willing to listen to what Ethan Katz does and get into his lab and let him just reform his whole thing, because I think it's a little too herky-jerky, too hard to repeat that motion over and over and over again, I think he can get better results, because his hard hit percentage went up a whole 5% from 34.6 to 39.1, so 4.5 from 2020 to 2022. So something is amiss there. His fastball velocity is down, and people are hitting him really damn hard, harder than they've ever hit him year.
The breaking stuff sucks. I think that's the big thing, and I think the lack of velocity really, you know, it makes it really difficult for people to, you know, be off on that fastball, just because they can really mark away his slider, because it just doesn't have that extra oomph. But I think you're onto something here, just because going back and watching some quick video, the first thing that I marked down was that he had a long arm motion. Like he brings it out, and this is even out of the stretch. He brings it out of his glove, down to his hip, up to his shoulder, and then over. The two big things that we heard with Ethan Katz doing for Lucas Giolito and Dylan Cease was shortening up that arm swing. So if he's able to shorten up that arm swing, we've seen it work for two other pitchers. It makes it harder to react for pitchers or for hitters. Hopefully he's able to repeat it a little bit more.
And like you said, the extension too, like if you got the shorter motion and the long extension in the 88th percentile, that's going to be a hard ball to jump upon. And if he's giving you back to the 95 mile per hour fastball, mercy. I tell you what, these hitters are going to be like, man, Clevenger's out here doing things.
And again, we talked about this a little bit in the Friday episode, going from the West to the AL Central might bring back some positivity here, because the Cleveland team, you know, there's not a ton of power to be found there. You look at the Kansas City team, same there, outside of maybe Vinny Pascatino, and he could throw a slider, so he's good against Sal Perez. Detroit Tigers, again, he could throw a slider, so he's fine against Spencer Torkelson and Javi Baez. And then we're not really sure what the Twins are going to look like. So I do think, especially for $8 million, this is exactly what I thought the Sox were going to do. And it seems like there's a couple people that are a little bit off on this. Hulk Hogan's giant body part. Another old pitcher. Good Lord, Jerry can't help himself. I just think like people are driving in their car right now, or, you know, listening to this in post, and just aren't going to expect me to say Hulk Hogan's giant taint.
Okay. I mean, I hope they're not listening to their kids, and I hope if you have to explain it to your kids, you have to explain it, whatever.
It's a body part, friends. We also got Matt here saying Clevenger too volatile for a rotation that already has question marks in Gio and Kopech. Need a more reliable arms to fill out the rotation. But here's the thing. That's the White Sox in 2023. No one is a guarantee. Tim Anderson just had his worst career of his year. Yoan Moncada is an overpaid third baseman who can't live up to the potential. Yasmani Grandal is turning into a goaltender. Andrew Vaughn now needs to replace the franchise face in Jose Abreu. Can't Eloy Jimenez play more than 100 games? Same question for Luis Robert. What's Oscar Colas look like? What's second base going to do? Can Kopech throw 130 innings? Is Lucas Giolito going to be crap again? There's a lot of questions. So Mike Clevenger is literally the least of my worries. If he is an okay pitcher, that's what they're paying him for. This seems like them trying to get Jock early on and them not being at his point. So they go away and sign Adam Eaton for $8.5 million. The White Sox identify Clevenger because I think of the arm motion as something that you're onto. He's got a good track record in the AL Central, and he doesn't cost a lot of money because the White Sox can't afford better.
No, and they did the calculations. I mean, I would think Johnny Cueto will be in this neighborhood too, the $8 million plus neighborhood for free agency. And they're like, do we roll dice on if Johnny Cueto is going to repeat the performance he had for the 2022 Sox, or do we maybe find that ceiling that Mike Clevenger's really never gotten to? I mean, 1 year, I think in 2019, if you put everything together, is his best year, even though 2018 was a 200 inning year. So you can see more consistency, his only 200 inning year. But he hasn't really hit his potential, I don't think. That's what the White Sox are thinking. And they're like, okay, if we can just get this guy, this is one of those things. This is, if it doesn't work out, I don't think most people are going to be like, man, Rick Hahn sucks. But if it does, this is going to be a thing where people are like, man, look at Rick Hahn over here. The rolling dice and coming up with sevens, 7-11, 7-11, 7-11 backdoor little Joe.
Well, I want to bring up something about the Clevenger, like his durability. The only 2 years he didn't pitch 20 starts was his debut year, which he debuted in May 18th, and then 2020, which he ended up having Tommy John. But outside of that, he's made 20 starts. He's posted, and that's what the Sox need. The Sox needed Johnny Cueto to give him 20 starts. He ended up giving him 30. That was, you know, above more than they paid for. If Mike Clevenger goes out and gives them 30 starts, that's more than they paid for. Even if they're 30 starts of a 4 ERA, you're not going to expect Johnny Cueto to happen every single year, but you just hope it's not, you know, a blow up. If it's not, you know, as bad as who was an awful guy, Despaigne, who else was Irvin Santana, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, as long as it's not that bad. I mean, it could be even Ivan Nova. This is your fourth or fifth starter. We know Kopech can be really, really good, and we'll talk about the rotation in a little bit in a second here. But I think if you were expecting anything bigger, I think you don't know what team you're watching. It's just, this is, if you're frustrated with that part, we all are. No one's upset at you with that. But I mean, this is exactly what we expected. This was one of the names we had in the bargain bin, and that's where your team shops. And it's unfortunate, but they always have a seat at the table.
Yeah. You know? If you guys missed that episode that we did on Friday, it was myself, Sean, and Janice Curio. We went through 15 players where we each picked out five, and then we discussed, would we buy or sell on these players? I said no on Clevenger. I was like, no. And that episode is still up right there on YouTube. So once you're done listening or watching this one, go back and watch YouTube or check our podcast out at allchgo.com. I said no because of reasons. Maturity. I don't think that Ethan Katz necessarily can fix what is broken here. And I don't think Mike Clevenger might listen to what Ethan Katz is going to say, just knowing the outside guy. Maybe I'm wrong about the guy. Maybe he has a change of heart. Maybe he is a different person than the perception is in reality. I mean, in public.
But it might be humbling for a guy that got immediately extension, that huge trade package. And then this year, he's only getting a 1 year deal for $8 million. He's got three kids. This might be a huge prove it year for him. And he might have all the right motivations behind him. You know, I think the two biggest worries are, can he hold up? And from 2017 to 2019, he had about 80 starts and under three ERA. I'm excited for that. As AJ says, Clev has a lower career ERA than most of the free agent starters. And the other thing was, you know, the thing in Chicago that happened once out of a 5 year career. You live, you learn. Some people weren't taking COVID seriously. That really doesn't seem to be an issue in 2023 MLB. You know, a lot of the restrictions are reclined. If that's the biggest thing that he's got on his plate, I'm fine with it. It was something 2 years ago. I don't know. It could be worse. It could be Velasquez.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot more baggage there that I'm worried about.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. As Sean said, I am not jumping through hoops or hooting hollering down the street because the White Sox signed Mike Clevenger. Quite the opposite. I'm like, okay, good pitching depth, fourth or fifth starter that I won't get too hyped about. And he's going to be what he is. I don't think he's going to be spectacular. If I think expectations of Mike Clevenger in the 2023 season, fine. He's going to be a fourth or fifth starter where he shows up sometimes and sometimes he gets blown up because he gets hit hard and home runs are hit off of Mike Clevenger at a good pace. So that needs to be fixed too. So it's not anything where you're going to be, same old White Sox. Not really. It's the beginning of the spring free agency. This is a good depth move for the White Sox. at a reasonable price, it looks like, for me.
Yeah, John Morosi did end up tweeting out that it is going to be more than $8 million. The guarantee with the White Sox is more than $8 million, sources say, for MLB Network. So $8 million, fine for me. It's around the Adam Eaton deal, and hopefully he turns into more of Adam Eaton than Jock Peterson, because that was plan A. This seems to be plan A, because I don't think anything else was going around it. So your plan A was a fourth starter. That kind of tells you where this offseason's going. I don't think we're getting Brandon Nimmo.
Yeah, and multiple people have tweeted out that, I think Scott Merkin has tweeted out the White Sox had interest at Clevinger back when he was a Cleveland Indian in 2020, when they were obviously shopping him, because eventually went to that 9-player deal, and they just couldn't get together on a deal. Sources saying that Michael Kopech was part of that package, or at least the Indians wanted Michael Kopech back, because remember, Michael Kopech did not pitch in 2020. He took the year off to work on himself. And so remember, then there were a lot of people, and I don't know if I was included, they're like, you know what, might have to roll with Michael Kopech somewhere else and such. And I think White Sox fans would have been on 1,000 if they would have traded Mike Clevinger for Michael Kopech as a package. So they've been looking for Mike Clevinger for a minute, Rick Hahn and crew. Now they finally got him. It's a solid signing, nothing to write home about, but a solid signing for a team that didn't have 5 starting pitchers that you would rely on in the major leagues. Now they do.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that rotation in just a sec, but we got to let you know about our great partners over at Green Ridge Farm. You can come try some of their products on December 4th at our CHGO Bears tailgate. You can buy tickets there at allchgo.com, and diehards as well. If you are a member of our diehard program, you get 20% off to that event. But Green Ridge Farm, they're a local meat and cheese company offering you a all-natural option at snack time, at post-workout time, at tailgate time. Maybe you're watching some games later after reading about the Mike Clevinger news. Have a meat stick. They come in beef, turkey. They also come in what's the spicy one, Herb? I'm signed out of my email again. I don't have the ad.
I think it's spicy chili.
Spicy chili. Yeah. Thank you, Steven. And they also have a great selection of mustards as well. Herb loves the champagne honey mustard. And I love the Chipotle mustard as well. And this Christmas season, I was going through Target. I know Steven Niss said sorry about your Target run being cut short. I didn't have that issue. But in the Christmas section, they had all these packaged gifts of like weird processed cheeses and everything. If you're looking for a meat and cheese gift this Christmas or this holiday season, go to greenridgefarm.com. Any 3 meat products you order and add code CHGO, you also get free meat sticks along with it. So this is going to be a great way if you have Shane Reardon in your life, if you have a foodie in your life. Green Ridge Farm is a fantastic, fantastic product. And again, check them out at greenridgefarm.com. And if you buy any 3 meat products at greenridgefarm.com and use code CHGO, you get a pack of meat sticks free as well. Green Ridge Farm, simply natural meat. We also have our Cyber Monday deals going on at the CHGO Locker. Everything right now is 50% off. Diehards get an extra 20% off. So if you want to become a diehard member, go to allchgo.com. You get a free t-shirt as well when you sign up to become a diehard member. And then you'll get basically 70% off our cyber weekend. We got hoodies on the store. We got all these great shirts, like the QB1 shirt. We got the Cubs shirts as well. If you're a Sox fan looking for some Cubs fans in your life, we got some Blackhawks and Bulls options as well. We got the 2 script shirts that I love, the red and black ones. And again, diehards get an additional 20% off this Black Friday and cyber weekend. What's that? Got and the spicy shirt. Yeah. You're
hell yeah.
And then also, we are very, very proud to be supported by ComEd. They're powering this podcast. And if you are looking to be more energy efficient in your home, if you're trying to update some old lighting to some LED lighting, and if you are trying to power your home through your phone, ComEd can help you with these projects. They are the ComEd Facility Assessment and Lighting Program. And if you are looking to become more energy efficient, call them at 1-855-233-4500. And I'm going to double check that number because I think it might be wrong. But also make sure to check them out at comed.com/poweringbiz. They are fantastic, local, in your hood. I saw a ComEd truck very recently on my block, and I took a picture with the energy efficient truck. And they're out there trying to save you money. So if you're trying to update your lighting, if you're trying to update your home, check them out at comed.com/poweringbiz. All right, let's get into this rotation. So Dylan Cease, obviously going to be our number one ace. Got Lance Lynn, 2. Lucas Giolito, 3. Mike Clevinger, 4. Do the White Sox need a lefty? at that five spot. What happens with Michael Kopech? The expectation is at the start of spring training that he could probably throw about 85 pitches. They're looking for him to give him about five innings per start. So what do the White Sox do at five now that Clevinger's at four?
I think Michael Kopech's in the rotation. I think it's Cease, Lynn, Kopech, Clevinger, Giolito to start the year off. And that last three can be jumbled up however you need to, but you got to go with Michael Kopech. This is his first full starting year in 2022. He made it through, for the most part, unscathed with an injury at the end of the year to pretty much shut him down. But Michael Kopech's in the rotation for me. I would have loved a lefty to break up all this right-handedness. But as you said, Central currently is a bunch of right-handers all throughout. Like, there's a teams like the Guardians who are switch hitty or left-headed hitty heavy. So maybe a lefty starter would be advantageous to go and track down the 2022 AL Central champions and neutralize them and take some of those bats from the right side instead of the left side, where Jose Ramirez can just hit a walk-off homer after walk-off home run. Josh Naylor can be in the lineup all the time, and guys like that can do damage like Jimenez. So, yeah, I would have loved – I mean, there's still time, and Mike Clevinger is not a end-of-free agent starting pitcher kind of guy. Like, oh, Mike Clevinger, we're good. We're done. So they can get another guy that we mentioned on our show, one of the other 14 guys that we mentioned, maybe a lefty. Maybe they can go and get Q. Maybe they can go and get another lefty that's out there. Andrew Heaney might be a little bit much, but I think they're a lefty in the starting rotation would have served the White Sox a little bit better, especially, like I just said, Cleveland Guardians are left-handed strong, and they usually killed us with that left-handed hitting.
Right. If the White Sox did sign him for about $8 million, they probably have about 16.5 left over. If they signed him for about $8.5 million, we thought the potential budget this offseason was about $25 million. So with that in mind, I think they don't go with another pitcher. I think there is the possibility of a Giolito trade, but if you're paying Mike Clevinger $8 million, I think you could pay Lucas Giolito $10 million. And I think that's a pretty fair deal for a third starter. And if they're really going with this hybrid, we're going to make Garrett Crochet, Michael Kopech, well, wouldn't it make sense to have those two start? I mean, you could kind of force a lefty in that way. Maybe make Garrett Crochet Michael Kopech's opener. I wouldn't hate that idea. And I don't think that this is going to be the new Vince Velasquez. Fred's asking that in the chat. I do think that they are pitching him to start. He can start games and he's good at it. It's not like Vince Velasquez, who was having a 5+ ERA. Clevinger had one bad year. Everything else is golden. It's sunshine on that baseball reference page.
I see what you did there.
Thank you. Here's the comparison. I'll get to this now. The sunshine nickname comes from people calling Mike Clevinger Sunshine when he was a kid because of Sunshine from Remember the Titans. Herb, do you remember the Titans?
I do. It's one of my favorite movies. Do you remember the Remember the Titans, Sean?
Never seen it. That movie was after I was born, and I couldn't even tell you how many Denzel movies I've seen. I'll be honest with you.
Jesus Christ. You've never seen Remember the Titans?
No, I was three. I wasn't really around.
When I said one of the best movies I've seen, I'm not lying. And Denzel Washington, you should watch all his movies. He's great in every one of them, especially the Equalizer franchise. It's just, if you like John Wick, you'll love the Equalizer. I actually like the Equalizer more than John Wick.
Yeah, I've never seen John Wick. I'm not huge into action. I think I've seen Glory. I've seen Philadelphia. I haven't seen Malcolm X.
Ridiculous.
Philadelphia, Glory, and Flight. I think those are the three Denzel movies I've seen. No Training Days.
As Cortese said, Fences, also great. But Remember the Titans is it's based on a true story of teams that come together, interracial team. They come together to play as they're integrated for the first time at T.C. Williams, and black coach takes over the helm, and that's Denzel Washington. And the quarterback there, Ronnie Bass, is transferred in from, I think, California, and that's why I say, are you from? He's from California. You know, this is good references I can't make with you because you don't get the goddamn references, jerk.
No, it's great.
It's a great movie.
Great movie. I love that
Donald
movie.
Donald Faison's in there.
Okay. I like Donald.
That guy, I think his name is, I forget his name, Kirk or Kip, something like that. Kip Paxton or something like that.
Yeah, Kip Purdue or something.
Kip Purdue. Awesome quarterback.
The Donald Faison and Zach Braff Xfinity commercials are really getting me, but I don't think people care about that. Connor saying, Sean, I'm younger than you and I've seen it. Yeah, I know it's been on. I've had chances to see it, but oh well. Let's talk about Giolito trade. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, I don't think we've heard major league for major league trade, but do they go and get a lefty bat then? I always thought that if they were going to make a trade, that would be for a pitcher. We've heard Brandon Woodruff or Corbin Burns thrown around. I don't think that Lucas Giolito is getting traded. I haven't really bought into the idea that they're going to be trading anybody. $6.5 million. I think you could go get Gene Segura for that, fill out that second base spot. And then they have about around $8.5 million to try to sign a left fielder.
And this is based off of what they said their payroll is going to be around the same that it was right in 2022. And we're basing those off of those numbers, right?
Yeah. The projected payroll we had with like 20 people on the roster was about 150. And with those comments about Han, I think I placed the budget at 180. So this should put him at like 158. So they basically have three $8 million deals they could sign, or, you know, about $16.5 million to divide up around somewhere. But I don't think they're going to trade. I think you have five starters there, and you have Crochet and Davis Martin to be potential depth. And, you know, I'm not against signing more minor league depth guys and maybe some guys that, you know, have more baggage to them than Clevinger. But I really don't think it makes sense for them to add another pitcher. It just, you know, second base is such a huge hole, left field such a huge hole, and this allows them to attack those markets more aggressively. And I'm excited for that. Them getting this off the deck. I mean, there's not a lot of people that have signed so far. Tyler Anderson has signed, Anthony Rizzo signed, and that's about it. Like, not a lot of people have truly locked up a contract. So the White Sox are early. They're being aggressive. Let's keep it up though, and let's get a second baseman. Let's get a left fielder in here with the extra money.
And with the people who want Lucas Giolito to be traded, I get it. Bad year. And some have been wanting this since the sticky stuff and the Josh Donaldson, and you saw the drop in velocity and all these things. There's a lot of rumors and conspiracies going around the Twitter sphere. But if you want him traded, just think about what you would think the upside of trading Lucas Giolito is. What is the upside of trading a walk year Lucas Giolito with a full year of having his guy by his side in Ethan Katz? What's the upside of getting whatever you're going to get from the other team? It's going to be garbage players, mostly probably middle tier prospects or a failing major league player that's a change of scenery type of prospect, that type of guy. You're trading him at his lowest point in his career. What are you going to get back from him? And so there, it doesn't make sense. And I understand the White Sox are a team that doesn't make sense either, so they might as well do it. But I'm trying to find a way where there's a positive in trading Lucas Giolito, because there isn't one for me. The only positive I can see is you just don't like Lucas Giolito. It's addition by subtraction. Anybody else, and you feel that anybody else, even Davis Martin, can do what Lucas Giolito did in 2022.
Yeah, and there's how much can he just bounce back with a good offseason? We could see how much it hurt him to have a bad offseason, but what if he has a great offseason, right? What if he is in the best shape of his life and he's not 25 pounds over his normal weight, and he's healthy, in shape, ready to go, and ready to prove himself on a huge contract year for him? I don't know. The White Sox have invested a lot in him, and I don't think they can fill out second base adequately or left field adequately. Like, it is the lowest value that he has right now. So I think the Sox should absolutely, with this Clevinger signing, just roll with five right-handers in their starting lineup and call it a day, because I think this is a fine rotation. And again, like, Giolito, I think, has the most value to the White Sox. He's a cheap, good starting pitcher, and I think that he's got more upside than that. If the White Sox want to be World Series contenders, they have to fix what's in house. So again, like, Ethan Katz is the guy who can fix Lucas Giolito, and I think Lucas Giolito is the guy that can fix himself too, because he just doesn't have to be, you know, he doesn't have to be, you know, 25 pounds overweight and hurting his oblique and throwing his mechanics out of whack.
Sean, you want to be mad again?
Sure.
The White Sox not only didn't tender or didn't offer a contract to Carlos Rodon last year, they non-tendered him the year before. So it's been twice they've rejected Carlos Rodon where they could have just had him for a little bit longer if they would have talked, hey, man, we know you're hurt. Here's a longer-term deal. I know he's not going to go to free agency, but they've treated Carlos Rodon so poorly in the last couple of years. I think they could have had him for a cheaper deal if they would have worked out something before this and still had him on the roster when he would have exploded in 2021, what he would have had is 2022, and probably would have still been here. But I think they mishandled that situation multiple times there and the relationship multiple times. And so they wouldn't have going into 2023 five right-handers if they would have handled the Carlos Rodon situation a little bit more delicately and, you know, saw him and, like, you know, just dealt him a little bit better. I think he was ready for explosion. He was ready for a takeoff, not the Carlos Rodon that showed up in 2021. I was not expecting that. I don't know if anybody was.
Right. That's the thing.
But he was like, just way too good to be the guy he showed up to be in 2020.
When they non-tendered him in 2020 or after the 2020 season, I don't think anyone batted an eye. I think it was expected. And
I don't think it was expected.
For them to non-tender him, he was so bad. Yeah. He was so bad in 2021. Yeah,
but he had just come back from injury. He just come back from Tommy John. And you know that's not the guy that you got out in Oakland or the guy you got in Cincinnati.
But I don't think after what he showed you and with his lack of health, I don't think you can, you know, in 2020, the 2020 offseason, offer him like a 3-year deal. Like, I mean, you're throwing money away at that point. You didn't know what he was. No one expected 2021. For him to have that health, I mean, people were even doubting it when he signed with San Francisco. Like, he just gave you two of his most healthiest years of his career. I mean, can he do that for a third straight year? Yeah. I think he can, and I regret the White Sox not making that qualifying offer. But going back to 2020, I think that's too big of revisionist history.
No, I just want to get my pound flesh. They messed up then, too.
Yes, they should have got the draft pick for him. That's a definite.
I mean, what was it, like $8 million? It wasn't that cumbersome that the White Sox needed to tender him that year in the fall of 2020.
I think it was like 3.3.
Yeah.
It wasn't that much, but they still got him back for a one-year deal. Even if they tendered him, it would have been a one-year deal. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, either way, he was back in 2021 on a one-year deal.
But I'm saying the relationship would have been better. Like, you let that man out in the cold for months.
But he seemed willing to come back. He seemed like it lit a fire. I don't know. Like, he never really made any disparaging comments to Chicago. I don't know.
No, I'm just saying, like, they could have had at least that relationship. You got to realize that that guy had his worst career up until that point. He was the third overall pick. And I don't know what DFA in order to non-tendering a guy that is that high does to him. He came back with a vengeance and did his job and got a free agency. Yeah, non-qualifying him was dumb. It was really dumb. I don't know who did that. If that's Tony, if that's Rick, if that's Jerry, or the combination of the three. But, man, again, we could have just had a solid guy.
Let's not remember what it would have been in September. You know, in September, I mean, he came out and was throwing 92 very effectively against the Reds in late 2021. But, again, that went into their thinking as well, is that they just didn't trust him, especially because a great year in 2021, he wasn't even, you know, fully healthy for the full thing. So I don't know.
The White Sox apologist.
The Rodon thing really bugs me for the fact they didn't make a qualifying offer. I don't think we'll actually ever get a true answer on that, on why they didn't do that. But I can't let that take up my brain space any longer, because I will just jump off a bridge if we continue to talk about it. I want to let you know, ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and business in the communities we serve manage energy usage and lower energy bills. Again, go to comed.com/poweringbiz and you can call at 1-855-433-2700. I really did butcher that first one, so I just wanted to make sure that we really gave ComEd their proper love and proper read there. Also, want to make sure, with the sunshine coming to Chicago, Herb, what do you need?
Umbrellas or shades.
Shady Rays, baby. You need some sunglasses. Shady Rays never understood why sunglasses were so expensive, so they set out to change that with their fantastically durable sunglasses. They have high optical quality and clarity, and they are just as quality as the expensive brand designers, but you're not going to get a good deal on those expensive brands and designer sunglasses. These Shady Rays have over 200,000 five-star reviews from people just like you and I. They have a fantastic protection program where if you break them day one, they will replace them no matter what. If you don't like them, you could send them back and they'll guarantee your money. Shady Rays wants to make you happy, and these sunglasses absolutely will make you happy. They have styles that match the brands and the designers, and again, the quality of them are very, very high notch. So check out their deepest deal at shadyrays.com. Use code CHGO to get two pairs for as low as $54. It's buy one, get one free. $54 for two pairs of Shady Rays sunglasses. You could use the deal or code CHGO at shadyrays.com. And again, fantastically made sunglasses. And our next partner, I do have this one, AG1s. They've been a partner with us for over 9 months, and I've been taking my AG1s for those 9 months. And it's a better way to get your multivitamin. It's a better way than, you know, just taking a pill. With one delicious scoop of AG1, I absorb 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help me start my day right. This special blend of ingredients supports my gut health, my nervous system, my immune system, my ability to energy, recover, and focus. It is an all-in-one helper, right? You don't need all these different multivitamins. You don't need to be taking three different pills. Just drink some AG1. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, and it costs less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than a cold brew habit. It's cheaper than a soda habit. And Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. So right now it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for millions of different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGOSocks. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/CHGOSocks to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Whew. All right. Any more? I'm Mike Clevenger.
No, I just want to, before we go, and I know it's one last segment, wish our guy, Eloy Jimenez, a happy birthday. Yes,
hey.
Eloy, I'm trying to trade you to the Seattle Mariners and other teams because this team has put me in that position where I got to trade good players off of this team to get good players on another team. But happy birthday, young player. I hope you do well. I hope you're healing up. They're coming to get me for my thoughts. I hope. All right, that's enough. I'm coming. Just wait. Just wait downstairs. But I hope Eloy Jimenez is having a good time down there in either Southern Florida or wherever, the DR. If he's enjoying his time, I'm enjoying his time too.
Well, did you see he got clearance, and I think he is on the DR World Baseball Classic roster, and also Yoan got clearance to play for Cuba as well. So we got Tim with the USA. We got Yoan with Cuba. We got Eloy with the DR. Any other guys we got to watch out for? I mean, I'm assuming Abreu will be on Cuba. So
I think Luis Robert also wants to play for Cuba too.
I hope they don't allow that.
Yoan Moncada got clearance, I would think that Luis would get clearance.
You think?
I understand he's got more of a injury history.
His wrist too? I mean,
but it's been a whole offseason. His wrist is fine now. I mean, the honor to play for your country while being a major leaguer, and the Cuban situation in particular, where these guys have been away from their families and not representing their home country in a while. And so I think it's an honor to represent your country, especially as a Cuban who has fled the country and now has made millions here in the major leagues, to go back and do what you need to do and do and represent your country correctly on the baseball field. I would imagine El Duque out there too. I know he's like 70, but I know Duque's got some mileage in that arm.
Yeah, where's Fernando Rodney playing? Where's he going to be? Oh, he's still in Lidom as well. So he's still playing somewhere.
I'm sure he's going to be in the DR. I'm bringing his Plantano.
They probably got better pitchers. I don't think they need him right now.
Well, they definitely don't need him. Dominican Republic is my odds-on favorite to win this WBC. They got everything.
Cuba has not announced their roster, I don't think. So I'm not sure. Oh, and this one, Sox and 35th does say Moncada and Robert. So they both were approved, and they will be on the preliminary roster for the 50 man. So they will likely have permission to play. Abreu, though, and that was brought up by AJ, not sure if he can play because he defected. So that might be something that would be pretty bummer because he's the best Cuban player of all time.
And he ate that fake passport too.
Recently. What's that?
Oh yeah, he ate that fake passport too.
That's crazy.
Just a harrowing story that Jose Abreu went through to get here to play on 35th.
Matt, I mean, just ridiculous stuff there. And he's an MVP. And I mean, that's I don't want him to leave, but you know, that's the White Sox for you. Anyways, final thoughts here. I don't think they're going to go after another starting pitcher unless it's a minor league deal. Al Red asked about Sean Manaea. He is a lefty, but I still think that he'd get a major league deal. I think you're probably going to hear, you know, they won't be as popular names, but for Clevinger, this is people for 2017 to 2020 who have a minimum 450 innings pitched. Mike Clevinger was a top 20 pitcher in baseball, just above Zach Wheeler, Luis Castillo, Jose Berríos, Yu Darvish, Blake Snell. So this might be a huge signing for the Sox. It might be a huge budget bargain bin signing for them. And I think for $8 million and change, great job, Rick Hahn, and stay aggressive. I don't want the White Sox to be behind on any of these things. They saw a starting pitcher that they liked. They went out and got him. They were one of the first to go get a starting pitcher. Go out and get the second baseman you like. Don't wait around. Left field as well. Don't wait around. Keep this good mojo going. Keep the deals coming. I like this deal for the White Sox, and I think it's not a huge name, but the huge names are the guys that are already on the roster, like Tim, Robert, Moncada, you know, Vaughn, Aloy, those guys, Giolito as well. Those are the guys that need to step up. Clevinger, great signing, I think.
One of our producers the last couple of weeks has been Kevin Wells, and he said a big deal's brewing. Is this a big deal, Sean?
No, because it's you don't know what he will be. But for fourth starters, you know, this is exactly what the Sox needed to do. In Conforto, Wolf Larson brings that up. If that's the next move that the White Sox make and they get him for around the deal that they want, around $12.5 million, let's go. I mean, that's a great first two.
If they get him for $12.5 million, Sean, $12.5 million, there's no way.
Maybe they give him 12.5 and then the player option for next year is like 20 or something. And, you know, he gets the ability to opt out and they do the Boris thing with Rodon. I mean, that was the rumors that he wants a Rodon like contract. So it probably means he has to take a certain amount of at-bats or play a certain amount of games. And if he hits that, we know that Michael Conforto is usually worth about $20 million. I mean, the White Sox should be doing deals like this. They should be doing guys on former top 20 pitchers who had Tommy John and could bounce back. They should be taking shots on Michael Conforto, who messed his shoulder up at a wedding, but before that was a top free agent signing. And I would have been happy if they made him the first $100 million player in franchise history, if they signed him to like a 5 to 6 year deal. I would have been fine with that last year. And that just didn't happen. But if they got Clevinger and they got Conforto, that's where the Sox should be playing. Guys who aren't superstars, but who can be really, really, really talented players when, you know, when surrounded by a great team. Like Conforto and Clevinger.
Any concerns with Mike Clevinger having two Tommy John surgeries?
How many people?
I mean, I know three? What I think. You Darvish has had two. I think Nathan Eovaldi's had two. Jameson Taillon's had two. A couple other pitchers who have been pretty decent and successful in the league have been had multiple Tommy John surgeries and have bounced back and been better than they were before the Tommy John surgeries. That's the only thing. Like I think the death nail, if I'm recalling correctly, having your third Tommy John surgery is pretty much game over.
Well, I mean, there's some pretty big names that have gotten it. Jason Isringhausen has had it three times. Josh Johnson, former starting pitcher, three times. Jared Parker, former three times. He was a Minnesota and A's. Johnny Venters, notable former relief pitcher for the Braves. I mean, two isn't the death, and he just pitched 20 games. So let's just see how he bounces back. And again, the big thing I think we've noticed is it seems like he can shorten up his arm action, which would hopefully put less stress on his upper half. And then hopefully, again, Ethan Katz using the core velocity belt, showing what he's been able to do for the lower halves of Carlos Rodon. Hopefully he's able to do this with Mike Clevinger as well. And I think it could pay off hugely for the White Sox. The way this goes wrong is if he just continues to stink, his fastball doesn't get any better, and, you know, he's around a 450 ERA, but that's fine for a fifth starter. Like, he's fine.
Is that what we're expecting? We're going to be like, this is, if Clevinger is Clevinger from last year with the Padres, that's fine? Or do you need a little bit more?
I think that'd be fine. I think Clevinger last year, and again, 23 games started, thanks, Steven, 114 and one-third innings pitch, 7-7 record, 433 ERA, 119 whip, 91 Ks, 35 walks. That's fine. I mean, that's Johnny Cueto-ish. I mean, if Johnny Cueto was just worse. And I mean, he's not going to be going up against the Dodgers and the Giants and, you know, who else? Padres, who's on?
But, Rockies.
Rockies as well. He won't be pitching in Coors. I'm fine with it. Let's go. And I think it's something Sox fans should be excited about. But, you know, they haven't gained my trust back. You still need to figure out left field. You still need to figure out second base here.
Indeed. And there's a lot of room to improve. Like, if you look at his percentile rankings, only like three of them are above average. With the extension you said is at 88 percentile, fastball spin is at 71 percentile, and then his walk percentile is at 57. He has a lot of room to improve. Curveball spin is at the league low, so is K rate, barrel rate, all that stuff. So if Ethan Katz can get him, and he's willing to listen to Ethan Katz, that's a big thing. Willing to listen, like, you're not that good, Clevy. You're at rock bottom of your career. Let's build you back up. Listen to what I say. And we maybe make that cutter work a little bit better than it did when you're out in San Diego, because Yu Darvish is a special specimen. You shouldn't be trying to, you know, repeat what he does, because he's Yu Darvish.
Right. Mike Clevinger is not Yu Darvish, breaking news. But hopefully he realizes that. And again, maybe being a little bit in a lower position in the rotation will help out Clevinger. And you mentioned the fastball spin too. At least we won't have to hear about that. His fastball spin was about where it was in 2018 and 2019. So we don't have to hear about spider tack with this guy. So yay. So that's the good news here. So let's do it. Let's wrap this up, and we'll be back tomorrow with more Clevinger reaction. Hopefully we'll have some people we can talk to about Clevinger.
Maybe I'm reaching out to my San Diego people. We'll have a San Diegan on tomorrow's show.
And if we can't get a San Diegan, maybe we'll settle for a Clevelander, but I think the only one is Shake. Clevelanders
We're not going to talk to Clevelanders, except for Shake, but I wouldn't consider a Clevelander, more of a Youngstowner.
Yeah, she's Cleveland suburb. So, you know, we don't have to tell her, you know, Cleveland stinks.
I mean, everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that. Mike Clevelander knows that.
Except for Drew Carey.
Do you really want to listen to his opinion? You know, it's Drew Carey, folks.
I mean, he's a Marine,
biologist.
Veteran. No, he's a Marine veteran.
Drew Carey was in the Marines?
Yeah, he was. He was a Marine.
Really? No,
seriously.
Wow.
And from most accounts, pretty solid guy. And I want to meet him because I want to go on to The Price is Right and play that game like it should be played.
How should it be played?
Correctly.
What does that mean?
If you're the last person to bid on contestants row, it's either $1 or $1 higher than the highest bid every time.
So you
every single time.
So you just be sitting at the last one and just be...
I mean, if I was so lucky, yeah, there he is.
That's crazy. That's Drew Carey, folks.
Drew Carey.
That's going to be Mike Clevinger as a White Sox. They're going to clean him up. The blonde hair, they're going to clean him up. He's going to be all clean. He's going to be not partying out on Michigan Ave and other places where people party. River North, maybe. You know, that's going to be clean cut Mike Clevinger. He's going to come from that San Diego Naval Base, and he's going to come over with that clean look. And Mike Clevinger is going to be ready to pitch his ass off for the White Sox. But that's going to do it for the CHGO White Sox podcast. I want to give a huge shout out to Joey for getting us a graphic that is out on Twitter for the Mike Clevinger thing. I want to give a shout out to Lawrence and Casey for helping us get this all set and rolling. Shout out to Jake as well for getting this.
Urgency.
Urgent podcast. And thank you, obviously, to Stephen Nicholas for producing the show and spending the last hour with us. We appreciate you, Stephen, for being around, and have fun with the Blackhawks tonight. We appreciate everyone for watching us. Make sure you subscribe to the CHGO Sports YouTube channel and like this video. We've had consistently over about like 60 to 80 people with us, so it's been fun hanging out with you people with this White Sox news on a Sunday. Thank you, Greg, other Sean, Connor, our guy. Connor brought up that Mike Clevinger is a Grateful Dead guy, so Vinny's going to be happy about that. He was emailing me about Jock Peterson. He emailed me on his honeymoon, and he said, did Jock Peterson accept his qualifying offer? I said, yeah, he did, Vinny. And he said, is Cody Bellinger an option? And I said, are you a score caller? What are you doing? Go to your honeymoon, you weirdo.
Yeah, stop paying attention to anything.
I told him Mike Clevinger was a White Sox, though, so he'll probably be really excited about that. But we're excited to talk about this tomorrow live on the CHGO Sports YouTube channel at 4 p.m. So come join Herb and I tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe and like the video. And again, thank you very much for watching. Thank you to Stephen producing. We will talk to you tomorrow. Go Sox.